Mother's Day, one of my favorite sermons of the year, maybe second to Resurrection Sunday. What a special day. We've been reading through the Bible, and I wanted to prompt us to go to Proverbs to focus on mothers today. My mom has made a huge impact in my life. My wife has been a wonderful mom to my children, and I think of my daughter and daughter-in-law and the impact on my grandchildren. We do wish a happy Mother's Day to our mothers today. As we look at the scripture, I wanted to begin with this perspective that mothers have a special place in God's sight. And that was first introduced to me when my wife became mom. And someone came and read this scripture to her, and that was Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. The Lord God will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. And God will gently lead those who have young. I thought that God has a special heart for those who are caring for children. We live in a society that has things upside down, don't we? We diminish the importance of impacting the life of a little one when that is the most significant influence in life. I love these Mother's Day quotes. Making a decision to have a child, it's momentous. It is to decide forever to have your heart go walking around outside your body. Isn't that true? Or when you are a mother, you are never really alone in your thoughts. A mother always has to think twice, once for herself and once for her child. Yesterday I met with Jim Lucas's son, preparing for the funeral, and Jim was one of our men here from the greatest generation, 97 years old, fought in the Battle of the Bulge, arrived after D-Day into Europe. But when his son sat down to tell me his life story, he talks about the fact that he's from Indiana, from the heartland. He talked about his life, but he said this one thing. He said the biggest influence on his life was his mother. I said, thank you for giving me an illustration for Sunday morning. The greatest influence on his life was his mother. Isn't that powerful when you think about that? The greatest influence on his life was his mother, who was a Scottish immigrant and moved to Indiana with other family. So let's look at some scripture. It's going to be a little more topical this morning in going through several scripture. I wanted to first look at a mother's love reflects the character of God. A mother's love reflects the character of God. As you know, the Bible refers to God as Father, but you see attributes of a mother displayed through the love of God toward us. The prophet Isaiah declares in Isaiah 66:12, "For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. You shall nurse, and you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted." God, in his love, comforts us like a mother comforts her child. How many kids, when they skin their knee, go running up to dad? And what does dad say? Brush it off. Get with it. No. Some are more tender, sorry. But a mother's love is comforting love. A mother's love is relentless. She is persistent in pursuing the well-being of her children. A mother's love is sacrificial. Now, that's profound in my mind, because when we think about sacrifice, from God's perspective, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God's love is sacrificial. When you think of a mother's love, and I know when you're a young couple and you decide to have children, you really have no idea. You have no idea how much sacrifice goes with mothering. was looking at an article this week about the impact of pregnancy and giving birth and the price a woman pays physically. We kind of know that, right? But new studies have come out how it's impacted the human brain. Now, bear with me. Have you heard of the baby brain and how pregnancy impacts the brain? Now they've actually measured the brain and it shrinks. Now we don't know about the recovery piece, but what there seems to be almost a reprogramming of the brain to focus in on the responsibilities of mothering. We think it's just like a carrying a baby for a little while. No, it is actually transforming the woman's whole person to be prepared for parenting. There's another thought that as the baby is in the mom, the baby sends off cells of the baby's body that enter into the woman, and post-mortem studies have found baby cells in the brain. So you think you've been changed by pregnancy? It actually transforms the whole person, the whole body. And that's God's preparation. You know, hormonal changes, some are 200 to 300 times the normal levels that actually change the person and potentially change the mother for a lifetime. So when we think about sacrifice, we don't realize how much that means that a mom has invested in her child. A mother's love is also unconditional. And when you think about those qualities of her comforting, relentless, sacrificial, and unconditional love, we really see what God is like in God's love toward us. We see the nature of God displayed in a mother's love. Do you remember when Jesus was entering Jerusalem on his last trip into Jerusalem, and he looks at the city, and he weeps for Jerusalem because they had rejected God's plan of salvation. And the metaphor that is used for his love was of a mother hen caring for her chicks. Jesus likens his love to that of a mother hen. The scripture says, "I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." I think in many ways, when we think about a mother's love, it is the kind of love that we all should reflect in how we live. And I think of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and it's really, when you think of Paul, you think of a tough guy, you know, passionate about sharing Christ. And yet, he likens his love for the church at Thessalonica to a mom. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read, "We were gentle among you like a nursing mother, taking care of her own children. So being affectionate, desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves." That's what a mother does, her own self, "because you had become very dear to us." Well, it's clear that mother love is extraordinary, and it reflects God's love, and God's love is likened to a mother's love. But secondly, I noticed the bond between mother and child is so important. Isn't that the strongest of all human bonds? Of all human bonds, the relationship between a mother and child is the most intense, the most powerful, and the closest of bonds. Remember when Jesus saw the woman at Nain whose son, her only son, had died? And he sees this mom entering the city, and she's crying, and Jesus feels compassion toward this mother. He understood the bond between a mother and child. He had seen the greatest of bonds being broken by death, and he raises her son from the dead. To me, it shows how God understands and how Jesus understood how tight that bond was. It never ends, right? It never ends. It never ends. That tight bond between mother and child. Remember the word amen in Scripture. Its root is of a mother holding a child in her arms. How many children are dropped by their mother? How many are dropped by dad? They just don't let go. They hold on tight. And that's that bond. When you think amen, think of a mother holding her child tightly, securely. That's the bond between a mother and child. You've heard the phrase, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Say it one more. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. I had no idea that that was actually part of a poem. Some of you know that, right? It was part of a poem of William Ross Wallace. Blessings on the hands of mothers. Angels guard their strength and grace in the palace, cottage, and the word is hovel, a very poor place to live. Oh, no matter where the place, would that never storms assailed it, rainbows ever gently curled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Emphases, the tender fountain, power may with beauty flow, mothers first to guide the streamlets from their souls unresting grow on for the good or evil, sunshine streamed or evil hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Mother, how divine your mission here upon our natal sod. Keep the young heart open always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother love impearled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hands of mothers. Fathers, sons, and daughters cry, and the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky, mingles where no tempest darkens, rainbows evermore are hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. That is true. The investing in the life of the little one is what makes the impact on our world, and the lack thereof, psychologists say, is the greatest hurt a person can experience in this life, is that broken relationship or lack of a mom's presence investing in that child. The third point is a mother's wisdom guides life's journey. When we think of biblical revelation, we often think of a patriarchal society. We know we live in a world that fails to recognize the significance and importance of women. You sometimes wonder why that comes about, but the scripture is clear. It recognizes how important moms are. We need moms and dads, and the mom's influence is critically important. A mother's wisdom is recognized in the book of Proverbs. And you'd think, oh, this is all about a father's wisdom. No, this is a mother and father's wisdom. And we read that in this morning. Rick, thank you. In Proverbs chapter 7. But look back at Proverbs chapter 1 for a moment. And right away in verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instruction. And remember, there's always parallelism. And forsake not your mother's teaching. Both are important, critically important. You need the perspective of both. And when one is missing in that duel, there's a loss. There's often a need for mentoring to fill in that gap. But then in Proverbs chapter 7, we were just reading, my son, keep your words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments alive. And we see the emphasis on, I'm reading the wrong passage here, aren't I? What's the Proverbs passage you just read, Rick? What, no, Rick, he's not with us. Oh, 6, well, there we go. 6:1-2? There we go, thank you very much. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. Do you notice that the promise of honoring mom and dad is the first command with a promise? There's a promise that is the result of following and recognizing the significance of your mom and dad's input into your life. We've all seen children who reject the counsel of their parents and see the consequences of that. It's not good. It impacts life to disregard that. So the importance of both mom and dad's wisdom. In the words of the Englishman T.W. Higginson, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. In Proverbs 31, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is in her tongue. There is something, I know, we go to a church that kind of believes in, we know pastors are guys up here, but I've been around a few dinner tables where I've heard great preaching. Have you heard any preaching, women preaching at a table at home? Did you hear mom passionate, sharing the importance? You see it all the time, don't you? Mom is passionate about her children making wise decisions and influencing their lives. It's impactful. Mothers are giving those spiritual lessons in life. And sometimes it's the hardest struggle is when your children don't receive that wise counsel. Doesn't that hurt? You see your child make decisions that are hurtful to themselves. Who gets hurt most in that experience? It's mom. I'm thinking of St. Augustine, who grew up in a home where his mom was praying for him, was a godly example for him, but he goes off and practices sexual immorality and gets into false religion and cults and philosophies. It wasn't until God supernaturally intervened when he was about 30 years old that he comes back and goes, my goodness, I've been on the wrong track. That a mom is so passionate about her children knowing Christ, following him, and living a life honoring to him. Moms don't like to see their kids suffer for stupid decisions. You know, they want so badly to help a child make wise decisions, and we'd be wise children to take that counsel. Now, here's the tough part. Here's mom, and she has invested her life, her body, her soul, her psyche, her spirituality into the life of this child. And when is her work successful? When the child goes off and becomes independent and becomes all that God wants them to be. Isn't that, what a bad deal. You've invested your heart and your soul into this precious little one. And so the greatest challenges of motherhood is preparing and releasing your child into adulthood and the responsibilities of life. So leaving father and mother is a big milestone in life. Jesus, quoting Genesis, said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Letting go is one of the biggest challenges of life. Becoming a responsible adult is a significant milestone in life. And mothering and the love of a mother is particularly self-sacrificial in that the finished product of this demanding job is best when the child takes off and becomes independent. After all her love and labor, time and tears, care and concern, laughter and joy, mother must let go of her precious treasure so they become the person God has called them to be. I like this quote, blessed is the mother who can hold on to her children while letting them go. That's it, hold on to their children while letting them go. Well, this whole message is entitled Honor Your Mother. Honor Your Mother. Honor means to recognize a debt that is owed. Honor means to recognize a debt that is owed. Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I don't think, well, I shouldn't say what you've thought of before. I had never thought of this before. In Leviticus, what was read this morning was, we are to be holy as God is holy. Now, what's the next sentence? You shall be holy, for the Lord your God am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother. Did you ever connect that before? Every one of you should revere your mother. Just after the command to be holy is the expectation to revere your mother. Now, let me see if I can connect this, maybe not too. A sign of holiness is how you treat your mother. Isn't that amazing? The sign of honoring God is how you treat your mother. Now, psychologists will tell us that the sign of maturity is when you stop blaming your mother. If you're still blaming your mother, you're immature. Now, I have time to tell one illustration here. One illustration. When I was 3 years old, I can remember this to this moment. I was upset with my mother. I fled, hid behind the couch in the living room. And the worst thing I could possibly think of saying is, baby mommy, baby mommy. You know why I was hiding behind the couch. If you're still doing that, that's not a good sign. I'm just letting you know. And if you're 30 and doing that, it's not cute anymore. If you're 13, it's kind of understandable. You got me. A sign of spiritual maturity is honoring your mother, recognizing the sacrificial love she's invested in you and how significant that is. I think children are harder on their moms than their dads. For one reason, dad wouldn't put up with it and he wouldn't care. But mom, it hits her soul. And it, you say, the kid knows it impacts her. I'm walking through Hannaford the other day and a little 4-year-old girl was laying into her mother. I mean, she was telling her mother what her mother needed to do. And I'm looking at that little girl because she's right in front of me. She's doing this thing and mom's looking at me and I'm going, isn't it helpful to have advice? She said, when you need advice, it's good. I don't need the advice. Sound of maturity is when her children, Proverbs 31:26, rise up and call her blessed. When you start calling your mom blessed, it's a sign of maturity, of appreciation. Children need to honor their moms, because mom has a tender and vulnerable heart to her children. The greatest bond. So children, forgive moms when they've fallen short. Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Speak well of your mom. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification. Express that appreciation. Maybe write a letter of appreciation. Seek your mom's wisdom. You talk about giving mom heart attack, ask her for wisdom. Support and provide for their needs as they change and become older. Because when they die, they'll have your cells in their brains. I was thinking of Jesus on the cross. And obviously, some profound things are said about Jesus. It is finished. Our sins have been paid for. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But how about when Jesus is on the cross and we read this, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, also Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. By the way, you notice the four women were there? Where were all the disciples? Well, there was one, the beloved disciple. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, one of his last earthly tasks, he said to his mother, "Behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Does Jesus care about moms? That's encouraging, right? Jesus cares about moms. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for our moms today. Thank you for their sacrificial love, their unrelenting love. They're giving of themselves unconditionally. That reminds us that that's your kind of love. Thank you for loving us even while we're still sinners. Christ died for us. Lord, we pray that everyone here might not only be appreciative of their mother's love today, but appreciative of the love of God expressed in giving us our moms, and even more so in giving us his only son to die for our sins. Lord, I pray for each one who's come this morning. Perhaps there's some burdens on their hearts, and we invite them for prayer at the end of the service. Perhaps someone needs to come to you for their salvation. Someone needs healing today. Someone needs comfort. Someone needs reconciliation. Lord, we thank you that we can cast all our cares upon you, knowing that you care for us. And we thank you that today we can come before a throne of grace to receive mercy and help in time of need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.